Srila Prabhupada ki, Sri Bhakti Vedanta ki, Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Giriraj Maharaj ki, Nidai Gopremanandi.
Okay.
So what did we discuss last week and now? Chapter 8, what was chapter 8 called?
Lord Krishna shows the universal form.
Lord Krishna shows the universal form. Very good. So what happens in that chapter?
Three things happened. The first one was he was Sakata Sura, and then it was Rinabhrita, and then it was Madhya.
In chapter 8? We're just talking about chapter 8. What happened in chapter 8?
Chapter 8. He told us that you can't become non Maharaja or Yashoda, but you can follow them. And that's Prabhupada.
Yeah, that's good. Good point. Okay. So tonight we'll continue with chapter 9. We'll go from verses 1 to 12. What is chapter 9 called? What is it?
Mother
Yashoda binds Lord Krishna. This is known as Damodar Lila. Okay, so we'll begin the description of the Damodar Lila. Tomorrow night we'll do an overview of chapters 1 to 8, overview class, and then next week, either Monday or Tuesday, will be the exam. I'll let you know which day it is. Okay. Children have to be very quiet. Quiet. So, text number 1 and 2. Sri Sukadeva Goswami continued. One day, when Mother Yashoda saw that all the maidservants were engaged in other household affairs, she personally began to churn the yogurt. While churning, she remembered the childish activities of Krishna, and in her own way she composed songs and enjoyed singing to herself about all those activities. Very late, Sukadeva Prabhu. Not excusable. Have to come early. Hare Krishna.
That's right. I came earlier, but it was, thought it was no class, and then you looked at it.
Oh, God. Okay. We'll forgive you this once. Janeshwar, you want to read that? First paragraph.
Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Lampada, voting for Vaishnava Roshani of Srila Sanatana Goswami, says that the incident of Krishna's taking the pot of yoga and being bound by Mother Yashoda was on the Deepavali day or Deepavali. Even today in India, this festival is generally celebrated very continuously in the month of Kartika by fireworks organized, especially in Bombay. It is to be understood that among all the cows of Mumbai, the of Mother Yashoda's cows, it only grasses so flavorful that the grasses would automatically flavor the milk. Mother Yashoda wanted to collect the milk from these cows, make it into yogurt and churn it into butter personally. Since she thought that this child Krishna was going to the houses of the neighborhood Gopas and Gopis to steal the butter because he did not like the milk and yogurt ordinarily paid.
Good. So what are the points there?
Mother Yashoda was covered by Yogmaya, and so she couldn't think that Lord Krishna goes to steal to give pleasure to the gopis.
Good. Anything else?
Love Krishna. She's so eager to serve son. Even if he goes to steal, she takes the meaning that maybe he wants whatever part is giving him taste for this. Though it's the best yogurt and the butter what they're giving from what Prabhupada drinks. But still she's of feeling that I should be in the better. So
yeah.
Of service.
Good. Anything else?
On the same
point of the taste on Vatsalya Bhavas is increasing and increasing in this case, wherein the service component is also being shown. So I want to show Krishna in many aspects in this world.
When the grass is in Vrindavan, because there was so much milk and it was falling on the grass. So even the grass is listening, like celestial milk.
Good. Okay. Lila Ma, if you come late anymore.
No, I told Prabhu to inform you. He informed you. I told him, I called him up. I told him that I'll be 10 minutes late and I informed you.
But I'll tell you, if you come late anymore.
Prabhu, I've informed it. No,
that's a that's a different thing. But if you come late anymore, I'm not marking your exams. So how do you like that? So if you come late anymore, I don't mark your exams. I'm telling you now. Don't worry about
tonight.
Doesn't
matter, Prabhu. I don't want certificate. I just come for the class. Doesn't matter.
Okay. Then don't come late, because if you come late, I won't let you come anymore. I told you about this at the start of the year and you keep doing it.
So. I already told you to inform.
That's a different thing. That's
yeah,
a you do it all the time. You do it all the time. So
not all the time. Today only.
You do it too much. If you do it anymore, then don't come to the class. I'm telling you that now. Your choice. Any other points? Basically, the point is that this pastime was performed on which day?
Diwali.
Diwali. So then, Diwali is in the middle of the Kartik Mas. So that is the day, and other acharyas say differently. Other acharyas say it was the day after Diwali, but it's around about that time. So in the Diwali time, then, this Damodar Leela took place. Now, in the conjugal ras or Madhurya ras, what is the highest pastime? It's considered to be the Rasa Leela. When Krishna dances with the gopis, that is considered to be the topmost of all of the pastimes. But in the Vatsalya Leela, the topmost pastime is this pastime. This gives Mother Yashoda the greatest pleasure of all the pastimes. So it's a very significant pastime, very powerful pastime. So we see that in this pastime, Krishna's apparently low qualities become extremely glorious because they are the pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So what is it about these pastimes where Krishna could be criticized? There are certain elements of this pastime where we could criticize Krishna from a mundane point of view. Yeah, he broke something. What else did he do? He's stealing. What else is he doing?
Fed to the monkeys.
Yeah, that could be that. Hmm? He's lying. Hmm? So materially speaking, these qualities are not glorious. Huh? We're taught we should not steal. Hmm? We should not lie. We should not do all of these. From a mundane point of view, all these activities should not be performed. But then when the absolute truth, when Krishna himself performs these same pastimes, they become unlimitedly glorious. So that is the nature of Krishna's pastimes. So why does Krishna do these things, which are apparently mundane? Why does he do these things? Because it increases the rasa in the leela. Just what we read in the previous chapter, that Krishna was going into the houses of the gopis, he was stealing the yogurt, right? And there was no yogurt there. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says that Krishna would threaten the residents of the house. He would say, if I come back tomorrow and there's no yogurt here, I'm going to burn the house down. So this is not, from a material point of view, this behavior is not considered to be exemplary or even acceptable. If I come to your house and I say, you know, you don't have prasadam or something, I'll say, okay, if there's nothing here tomorrow, I'm going to come back and I'm going to burn it down.
You call the cops.
Yeah, I mean, if the person's serious. But Krishna, he does the same thing. But of course, everyone knows that's only playing. But there's rasa. Rasa means taste, it means pleasure, it means experience, it means all these different things. Krishna increases these things, right? Because he acts contrary. You'll see later on, in the 10th canto, we'll see that Krishna is speaking with the gopis. So when Krishna speaks to the gopis, most of the words have double meanings, or most of the sentences have double meanings. Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur explains this. They're saying one thing, but actually they totally mean the opposite thing, or another thing. So it creates rasa, because Krishna could just speak directly, and the gopis could speak directly back. But when they speak in a very crooked way or a hidden way, it creates rasa. So Krishna is constantly doing this with the gopis, just like they come. He plays the flute, he calls them, they all come in the middle of the night, they arrive there in Vrindavan at Vamshivat. And then when they arrive there, Krishna says, so why did you come? You should not have come. So he's glorifying them, but he's saying almost exactly the opposite thing. So it creates rasa. So in this pastime, Krishna is giving Mother Yashoda so much pleasure because he smashes the yogurt pot. Right? He runs out, steals yogurt, feeds it to his monkey friends, and he's looking very fearfully. It gives her great pleasure. So she experiences so much more. If Krishna was very well behaved, she would not experience so much pleasure. But because he's acting like this, she's very pleased. She picks up the stick, she follows him, she finds him, and it creates pleasure. Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says she'd never hit him with a stick because it's beyond her feeling or above of love to hit with the stick. She would never do that. But she carries it just to increase the pleasure with Krishna. So he performs all these contrary activities just to increase the pleasure of Mother Yashoda and himself. So then, we'll read the next paragraph and then we'll explain a little bit about the next. Should we have to look? You want to read the second paragraph?
While chanting the Bhagavad, Mother Yashoda was singing about childhood activities of Krishna. It was formerly a custom. One wanted to remember the something constantly. He would transform it into the poetry or have it done by the professional poets. It appears that Mother Yashoda did not want to forget Krishna's activity at any time. Therefore, she poeticized all Krishna's pastimes and Krishna's childhood activities, such as killing a putana, Bhagasura, Sakatasura, and Trinavarta. While churning the butter, she sang about these activities in a poetical form. This should be practiced. This should be the practice of the person eager to remain Krishna conscious for 24 hours a day. This incident shows that how Krishna conscious Mother Yashoda was. To stay in Krishna consciousness, we should follow such persons.
So what are the points in the second paragraph?
So she remembers everything because it is in a poetry form. She made it into a poetry form. And that's a bit easier to remember.
Good. Anything else?
Lead you to give him
else?
In practical terms, we have to hear, start hearing and conf, hear it continuously and consistently so that our remembrance to Krishna increases and eventually we follow or flow, follow the Radha-Krishna path and follow the exalted devotees of Vrindavan. Here he concludes by saying, follow such persons. So that says that eventually we should be following our Acharya and so on, the devotees of Vrindavan.
Good. Anything else?
This verse is telling us how to remember Krishna all the 24 hours a day.
Yeah. That's good. So, this yogurt, which Mother Yashoda was churning, Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says Nanda Maharaj had 9 lakhs of cows. So it means 900,000 cows. And then out of the 900,000 cows, it says there are 7 or 8 cows which were looked after personally by Mother Yashoda. And while she was looking after them, they were being fed the most, the best grass. So it was the most exalted situation. And the milk was said to be the very, very best. You can go that side. The milk was said to be the best of all the milk. So she took this milk from the best cows, which she personally hand-fed and looked after. And then she was churning that milk, which is considered to be the very best milk. They would even feed the cows different things. You know, just like in India, even to this day, you go to Bengal, and there's some very famous sweet shops in Calcutta, and they feed the cows, they have the cows for generations, and they feed the cows pistachio. So when the milk comes, there is some subtle pistachio flavor. So these cows were fed lotuses and different things, and then there were different flavors which would come in the milk. So this was like the best milk. So Mother Yashoda is keeping 7 or 8 cows. She's getting the best milk, hand-feeding them, looking after them. And then she's making this milk for Krishna for one reason, because every day she gets complaints that he goes to the neighbor's house and he steals all the yogurt and the milk and everything. So she thinks, if I make good milk or good milk sweet, makhan and dahi and all these excellent things from these cows, he won't need to go anywhere and steal. So she's making this and she's churning herself. And she says that, I will churn it myself because normally I will get the servants in the house to churn the yogurt into makhan. But sometimes they don't do it properly. They make a mess. So I will do it personally. So I'll make the best for Krishna. But she knows the whole time when she does this, he's still going to go and steal everything from the... Still he'll do it because it tastes sweeter when you get it from someone else's house. But she's making it nice as she can. So she's churning and churning and churning like this. So while this pastime is taking place, she is singing about Krishna. So these different songs, Prabhupada says, the songs of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Like every morning we sing before the class, Jaya Rata Madhava Kunjabihari, Gopijan Balaba, Giri Varadari. So these songs, Prabhupada said, come from the spiritual world. They're from Goloka Vrindavan. Bhaktivinoda Thakur giving us Yashomati Nandana, Brajabara Nagara. These songs come from the spiritual world. Mother Yashoda sings these songs. The gopis sing these songs. And Mother Yashoda, she's glorifying Krishna while she's doing this. So the basic lesson, Prabhupada says, we have to follow in the footsteps of Mother Yashoda and these devotees. So when we're doing our service, what should we do? We should chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. We should chant these songs about Krishna. And this will help us to become Krishna conscious. So Mother Yashoda is doing, so Prabhupada says, you should follow her, not imitate her. We cannot become Mother Yashoda, but we can follow her example. Always glorify Krishna. Kirtaniyaha sada hari. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, satato kirtiyanto mam. Always chant about me. Mother Yashoda, she's always chanting about Krishna. So this is the system. This is how we become Krishna conscious ourselves. So, any points? Okay, so now verse number 3. So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, for those in Vatsalya Bhav, Raganuga Bhaktas, or devotees, who aspire to follow in the footsteps of Madhya Shoda Nanda Maharaj. In other words, in the mood of Vatsalya. Some devotees, they aspire, when you become more advanced, maybe now you're not on this level where you're feeling like this, but when you become more advanced, you may have the mood of Sakya Ras. You're following in the footsteps of the cowherd boys. Or the mood of the gopis in Madhurya Ras. Or in Vatsalya Ras, Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says, this verse we're about to read is a verse that the devotees in Vatsalya Ras, they meditate upon. It's a description of the beauty of Mother Yashoda. So you have to meditate. If you're in Madhurya Ras, you meditate on the gopis, Sakya Ras, on the cowherd boys, on the descriptions. So here you meditate on Mother Yashoda. Dressed in a saffron yellow sari, with a belt tied about her full hips, Mother Yashoda pulled on the churning rope, laboring considerably, her bangles and earrings moving and vibrating, and her whole body shaking. Because of her intense love for her child, her breasts were wet with milk. Her face, with its very beautiful eyebrows, was wet with perspiration, and Amalati flowers were falling from her hair. So, Jagan, you like to read them?
Anyone who desires to be Krishna conscious, in motherly affection or parental affection should contemplate the bodily features of Mother Yashoda. It is not that one should desire to become like Yashoda, for this is Mayavada. Either in parental affection or conjugal love, friendship or servitorship, in any way, we must follow in the footsteps of the inhabitants of Vrindavana, not try to become like them. Therefore, this description is provided here. Advanced devotees must cherish this description. Always think of Mother Yashoda features, how she was dressed, how she was working and perspiring, how beautifully the flowers were arranged in her hair, and so on. One should take advantage of the full description provided here by thinking of Mother Yashoda in maternal affection for Krishna.
Any points there?
And we have got to think ourselves very low, that we cannot cease to elevate it. So the only thing we can do is to remember her and what she does there, how she looks, and we should try to help her.
Good. Anything else? So we're hearing about the description of Mother Yashoda. So it is said, the acharyas describe, what type of sari is she wearing here? Yeah, like a yellowish, golden sari. Same as what Krishna wears. And what color is her complexion? It doesn't mention here, but actually her complexion is dark, like Krishna, because she's so absorbed in love for Krishna, she's taken on the same complexion as Krishna. Also, Arjuna is like that too. Arjuna also has a darkish complexion like Krishna, because he's so absorbed in Krishna. Also, Uddhava, who is Krishna's most intimate devotee in Dwarka, he also has that complexion. And actually it says that Uddhava, he looks very similar to Krishna. When he came to Vrindavan, the gopis, they mistook him for Krishna in the beginning. They saw him and they thought, oh, Krishna's there. And then they went and they said, no, it's Uddhava. But Uddhava is so Krishna conscious, he won't eat anything which has not first been eaten by Krishna. Because he lives with Krishna. So he waits for Krishna to finish and then he eats his remnants. Same as we do, we take prasad of the deities. So same principle. He only is the remnants of Krishna, but directly. He won't eat anything else except Krishna's remnants. Uddhava will not wear any clothes except the clothes which have been worn by Krishna. So just like the deities' remnants, their clothes, Prabhupada said, you can take the old clothes of the deities, and Prabhupada said you can make costumes or outfits, and the children, the devoted children, can wear them. So this is the system. Uddhava would only wear the clothes which are worn by Krishna. That is the system of Krishna consciousness. Everything that Uddhava did was completely following Krishna. He was so Krishna conscious. So and even his complexion turned the same color. So we should also have that same mood. That we will only take the food which has been offered to Krishna, the prasad. We should have that mood of absorption in Krishna. The internal absorption of Mother Yashoda is so deep that the external complexion becomes the same complexion as Krishna's. So this is pure Krishna consciousness. So we should also aspire to follow in their footsteps. We cannot be Mother Yashoda, but we should follow in the mood of Mother Yashoda. Complete absorption in Krishna. And what is she doing? She's just singing about Krishna. She's fully absorbed in Krishna all the time. Any points?
So, we don't hear much about him, Uddhava, in the childhood pastime.
He was in Dwarka. He wasn't in Vrindavan. So.
Yeah. Dwarka was built later on.
He started in Mathura.
Yeah, he was a cousin of Krishna. So when Krishna went back to Mathura, that's when he came to life. He wasn't in Vrindavan.
So he was living in Mathura.
Ah.
Okay. He's Vasudev's brother's son.
Yeah. Cousin brothers. They were best friends. When Krishna went to Mathura and Dwarka, they were best friends. Closest friend. Any other point? While Mother Yashoda was churning butter, Lord Krishna, desiring to drink the milk of her breast, appeared before her. And in order to increase her transcendental pleasure, he caught hold of the churning rod and began to prevent her from churning. What of a Bandhu Prabhu?
Krishna was sleeping within the room, and as soon as he got up, he became hungry and went to his mother, wanting to stop her from churning and doing the milk of her breast. He stopped her from moving the churning rod.
So what are the points there?
Krishna will interfere in your activities if he wants to get some pleasure or to extend some kind of pleasure or some service with you. And you have to like it. You need to understand.
Anything else?
It just behaves like a mundane child. And you know, they just don't want mother and father
to do anything.
They just have
got
their own mind.
Yeah.
So
it
was doing like this to increase the
love. Yeah. Yeah, so you see in this pastime that Krishna, he completely overwhelms Mother Yashoda by his, Krishna Chakravarti Thakur says, by his cleverness and his charmingness. So he's the most charming and the most clever. So he comes out, she's churning the butter, and he comes and he completely captivates her and stops her from doing what she is doing. And then she brings Krishna to her breast to give her breast milk to Krishna. So He has the ability to completely overwhelm everyone. We heard in the last chapter, he would go to their house, and sometimes they would catch him stealing the yogurt, but then he would just sit there, right in front of them, and he would just smile and he would just start eating the yogurt. And they wouldn't even do anything, because he's so charming, so captivating, you can't even do anything. Just seeing him, you become stunned, because he's so beautiful. So they just saw Krishna, they became good, and then he just sits there and he eats in front of them. And he smiles, and then when he's finished, he just walks off. Right? So he's so overwhelming, overpowering in his personality, his beauty, everything is overwhelming. So with Mother Yashoda, she just overwhelms. Mother Yashoda, she walks in, sorry, he walks in, Mother Yashoda is engaged and churning. But he comes and he just pulls on the sari and then he calls her. And then as soon as she looks down, then he completely overcomes her. And so he's the most charming, most captivating person in the universe. And what is the whole point of studying all of this? We have to become attached to him. We become attracted to him. If there's no attachment, no attraction forming, you have to go back to Canto 1 and start again. That's the whole point now. You have to become attracted to him. Captivated, you have to be thinking of him. That's the whole point. When you're chanting your rounds, it comes into your consciousness. That's why we're studying all of this. Any points? Okay. Mother Yashoda then embraced Krishna, allowing him to sit down on her lap, and began to look upon the face of the Lord with great love and affection. Because of her intense affection, milk was flowing from her breast. But when she saw that the milk pan on the oven was boiling over, she immediately left her son to take care of the overflowing milk. Although the child was not yet fully satisfied with drinking the milk of his mother's breast. So, Sharada Radha, you like to read them?
Everything in the household affairs of Mother Yashoda was meant for Krishna. Although Krishna was drinking the breast milk of Mother Yashoda, when she saw that the milk pan in the kitchen was overflowing, she had to take care of it immediately, and thus she left her son, who then became very angry, not having been fully satisfied with drinking the milk of her breast. Sometimes one must take care of more than one item of important business for the same purpose. Therefore, Mother Yashoda was not unjust when she left her son to take care of the overflowing milk. On the platform of love and affection, it is the duty of the devotee to do one thing first and other things later. The proper intuition by which to do this is given by Krishna. Tesam satatiktanam vastam pritipurvakam tadami bhakti yogantam enamam upyantati. In Krishna consciousness, everything is dynamic. Krishna guides the devotee in what to do first and what to do next on the platform of absolute truth.
Very good. So, any points there?
So it was not Mother Yashoda's fault that she went there. It was Lord Krishna who told her to do like this. Mm-hmm. He gave her this thing so that he can do this later.
I'm not sure what you mean.
Well, you know how Mother Yashoda left Krishna and went to attend to the falling milk. Maybe you know how this verse says 10:10. Well, he inspired Mother Yashoda.
Yeah, it's natural. It's just coming from her natural love. The point is that Mother Yashoda, she was churning this very special yogurt into makhan, into butter, for Krishna's pleasure. Now, we already know that these were the best cows, which she personally kept, hand-selected the best milk. So what was taking place simultaneously, she has milk on the pan, you know, big, like, big pans they have, and they have the milk, and the milk is just boiling all day. And then Prabhupada explains, the milk boils all day, and during the day, if anyone wants milk, they can just go and they can take a cup and they can take the milk. Mm. At the end of the day, when the milk is finished, not finished, but when the end of the day comes, any milk that is left, they take that and they churn it into yogurt, make it into yogurt. And then from there, the next day, then they can make other things, like makkhan and different things like that. So she had the milk boiling there, but then Krishna comes, Krishna's taking rest, he comes out and he pulls on her sari, and then she picks Krishna up, she puts Krishna on her breast, so Krishna's taking the breast milk. So the milk that's over there, because everything in the spiritual world is Krishna conscious, it is Satchidananda, everything is full of consciousness. The milk thinks, well, she's taking old Mother Yashoda's milk, so then Krishna's not going to drink me, so I have no purpose to exist, so I'll commit suicide, I'll kill myself. So the milk boils over and goes into the fire to kill itself. So Mother Yashoda, she sees the milk is going over, so she runs over and she cools the fire down, so the milk will settle down again. So then we see what happens next. So then Krishna becomes very upset, because Mother Yashoda has neglected him. So this is all just to experience rasa, to increase the pleasure. Now, Prabhupada points out in the purport that we need guidance before we act. Prabhupada is saying before you do something, the super soul has to sanction you. Now, what is the problem with that? Huh? Or the problem with that is that we may not know the difference between the super soul and our mind. Yeah. That's a problem. Because you may say, well, the super soul told me to do it, which is very convenient. But how do you know it's the super soul? So Prabhupada explains in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, there is Chaitya Guru, means the guru in the heart, and then the guru in the heart manifests externally as Diksha Guru and Shiksha Guru. So for us, we take instruction from the Chaitya Guru. It's not like the super soul is not instructing us. And if you become more purified and advanced in Krishna consciousness, you can take most of your instruction from the super soul. Krishna will guide you. That's natural. But if you're not so advanced, you will need advice from the Diksha Guru and the Shiksha Guru. Otherwise, you may completely speculate and you can ruin your spiritual life. So I remember my spiritual master, Tamal Krishna Maharaj, she said, I do not trust any one person's mind, including my own. So you cannot trust your mind. You cannot be the only one who makes judgment, because your mind will deceive you. Therefore, you need guidance from senior Vaishnavas, Shiksha Guru. Shiksha, Shiksha means instruction. Those who instruct you. And Diksha Guru means your initiating spiritual master. Who is your principal? Who do you take initiation from? The person who you take the most Shiksha from. That's generally the system. So the Diksha Guru is your main Shiksha Guru. So you don't go to the Diksha Guru about every single thing. You know, Maharaj, what should I do today? Maharaj, what should I do tomorrow? No, we don't do like that. If you do need that kind of guidance, you go to the Shiksha Gurus. So you have to take instruction from those who are external. Because internally, if you don't have the sufficient purity, you cannot take instruction just from that. So, any points?
The point which you mentioned where the mental health, consciousness, therefore it when it comes to society, is that not the answer he has explained?
I was looking today, but I couldn't find the reference. So I've heard the past times.
Interesting though, like when the milk was to society, how is this kind of consciousness
in the... No, it means the feeling.
Yeah.
It can't kill itself anyway, because nothing dies in the spiritual world, but the feeling is there. What is the point of my life? In Shikshastika, Lord Chaitanya says, if I don't see Krishna even for one moment, it feels like 12 years or more. So we don't understand what these feelings are like. Because we're attached to our tongue, our belly, and our genitals. So what do we know? We don't know anything. But when you become purified, then you understand these emotions. Any other points? Being very angry and biting his reddish lips with his teeth, Krishna, with false tears in his eyes, broke the container of yogurt with a piece of stone. Then he entered a room and began to eat the freshly churned butter in a solitary place. Mitesh, you like to read this?
Sure. It's natural that when a child becomes angry, he can begin crying with false tears in his eyes. So Krishna did this, biting his reddish lips with his teeth. He broke the pot with a stone, entered the room, and began to eat the freshly churned.
So what are the points there? Krishna has crocodile tears. Prabhupada explains. What are crocodile tears? You know, you're crying but you don't really mean it. Yeah, the kids do this. You know, when they don't get what they want, they start to cry. They're not really crying. But all the tears come and everything like that. But it's not really crying. It's just, you know, they want something. So Krishna is doing like that. So he wants what he wants. That is the nature of his personality. Just like if you go back to chapter 3, we see the chart of Lord Krishna. Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur gives us the Jyotish, or the astrological chart of Krishna. I'd never seen it before. But when I looked at it, if you know something about Jyotish, Krishna is a very dominant personality. Very domineering. It means he likes to, whatever Krishna wants, he just takes that, like that. So that's his personality. He's like that. He's very bullish. He's Taurian rising with moon in Taurus. He's very, when he wants something, he just has to get it like that. So he's making crocodile tears. I want this now. So that's his mood. I have to have it now. So his personality is very powerful. Just like if you read in the, I think it's the Krishna Bhavanamrita, Krishna Chakravarti Thakur writes about the Ashtakali Lila, the eightfold daily pastimes of Krishna. So Krishna wakes up in the morning. And when he wakes up in the morning in Nandagram, then Mother Yashoda comes into the room and he sits on his bed, and on one side of him sits Balaram, and on the other side sits Madhu Mangala. So Madhu Mangala is like one of his best friends, and Balaram is his brother. And Mother Yashoda begins to feed them. They haven't even got up yet. And what's the first thing she gives them in the morning? Sweet curd. So paneer, mixed with jaggery and other things. So they're sitting there eating it. And Madhu Mangala says to Mother Yashoda, is there any more? So she gives more, and then he says, is there any more? And he just keeps like that. She says, okay, you've had enough. So Krishna's eating. And then the day begins, and Krishna goes out. And when he's to go out to the with the cowherd boys, Mother Yashoda says to Balaram, Balaram, make sure you look after him. And Krishna becomes a little bit angry. He looks at Mother Yashoda, he says, I am the leader of the cowherd boys. I don't need anyone to look after me. I am the leader. That's his personality. He's like that. Mother Yashoda says, Balaram, you look after him. He says, no one needs to look after me. I am the leader. So that's his personality. So you have to make a choice right now. Are you going to listen to this person and follow him? Otherwise, go to church. Make your choice. Because if you stay here in this religion, this person is a very particular personality.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
what's that?
Be
better be friends with him. Because he always wins, so better to be friends with him. I mean, you think Donald Trump's like a very dominant person, but Krishna is much more. Very strong personality. So you have to get used to his personality. Mm-hmm. You go back to the spiritual world, he runs everything. It's all under his control. So you have to make a choice. Do you want to surrender to him or not? We don't like that feeling of being controlled. That's why we're in the material world. If you want to go back, you have to let him dominate. Because he's going to do it anyway. So you might as well just cooperate with the whole.
When he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
What's that?
He's the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
But we're envious of him. That's the point. We know he's the Supreme Personality, but we're envious. We don't surrender to him. Even in this world, we don't like it when people dominate us. And what do you think is going to happen when you get back there? It's worse there.
Here, people are selfish.
Here, people say that's true.
But he's not selfish.
He's not selfish, but he's still...
He does everything to please you.
Not really, because... it describes when he's with his friends... They're having lunch, and he gets his flute and he pokes them in the ribs. Like this. And then they're trying to eat, and he's like, okay. He's like that. He has that personality. He just keeps pushing you and pushing you.
But
like
yeah, that. I like him.
Yeah, we like him. That's why everyone puts up with it. But,
yeah.
But he's very... Yeah, he likes to... Like it says in the last chapter, he goes in, he couldn't get the yoga, so he passed water on everyone's floor. Right? And then as he's walking out, he pinches the babies. You know, just to get the... pinches the baby, and then he walks out. Right? Just throws his chatter, and then he just walks out. You know? And then he walks in, and Mother Yashoda says, you know, we heard all these, you're causing all these problems. He said, I wasn't there. He said, I haven't been, I didn't do it. I was with the cows. I wasn't there. But that, so he's very like that. So.
Is it? But the thing is, when you go there, then you will remember that this is better than to go in that middle
world again. Could be. You have to become attached to Krishna. That's the point. If you're not attached to him, because he will test you. He will test you. I know some days I wake up in the morning, I wake up and I think, today I'm really going to surrender to Krishna. And Krishna likes it when you say that, because then he really tests you. So halfway through the day, he makes everything fall apart. And then he says, are you still going to surrender to me? Do you still like me? Like that. Sometimes he really tests you. He gives you a really hard time during the day. He said, remember in the morning you said you're going to surrender to me today? But now I'm making it difficult. Will you still do it? So he's going to test us. Are we willing to give everything to him? It's easy to say it, but to do it, that's another thing. I say it all the time. I just give everything to you. You know, everything. He says, really? What if I do this? And I said, oh. It's easy to say all these things. Surrender means surrender. It means unconditional. Shikshastika says that. Whether you make me brokenhearted or you handle me roughly, still you are my Lord. Now, it's easy to say all this, but when he starts getting rough, then you say, okay.
Didn't we read somewhere that, you know, if you go there, you and if you find that kind of feeling that Krishna is not doing the right thing with you, then you get the picture of this world again?
Yeah, it's explained like that.
It reminds you.
Yeah, what it was like last time.
Yeah. And then
you'll be okay, don't worry. You'll be okay.
I don't know.
Mother Yashoda, after taking down the hot milk from the oven, returned to the churning spot. And when she saw that the container of yogurt was broken and that Krishna was not present, she concluded that the breaking of the pot was the work of Krishna. Krishna at that time was sitting on an upside down wooden mortar for grinding spices and was distributing milk preparations such as yogurt and butter to the monkeys as he liked. Because of having stolen, he was looking all around with great anxiety, suspecting that he might be chastised by his mother. Mother Yashoda, upon seeing him, very cautiously approached him from behind. So Prabhupada explains, he's sitting on the grinding mortar and he's looking here and there. You know, where is she, where is she? And she's coming from behind very carefully, right? And she has a stick in her hand. And she's sneaking up behind him. She's about to grab him. So he's sitting there. He knows he's done the wrong thing. You know, sometimes you do the wrong thing. You know, when you're kids, you do the wrong thing and you're just waiting. When's your mother coming? When's your father coming? And he's like that. So he knows he's done the wrong thing. So now he's just waiting for that Mother Yashoda to find him. So why did he do it in the first place? Because he likes to create rasa. And she enjoys it. It says, when she came out, she went off to cool the milk down, and then she came back, and she saw that the pot where she was churning, it was smashed and the yogurt was on the floor. So it describes, Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says she put her finger on her nose and she began to smile. Oh, okay, I know this. I know who's done this. So it immediately it's making her happy. That's why he does it, because it's increasing her rasa. So she gets more pleasure. Now she picks up a stick, she's wandering around. He's hiding, he's already distributing to the monkeys. He just knows he's going to get more of her reaction. That's why he does these things, because he knows it will make her more angry and more like that. So he's creating rasa with her and she's creating rasa with him. And that's what the whole spiritual world is about. It's about one thing. Rasa. Just enjoying pastimes. Because if you look at the pastime, it's pretty simple really. It's pretty ordinary. It's not like there's something amazing going on. But, I mean, it's just eating yogurt. I mean, everyone's coming here and we're all like, you know. Yeah, but I mean, really, it was just talking about eating some yogurt. It's not really a big... Yeah, but we all come here and we study it and read the Sanskrit and like that. But, I mean, it's nothing really amazing, really. I mean, if you picked up any other book and said, you know, the boy was eating yogurt, you'd say, okay, well, it's not very exciting. But here there's so much rasa because Krishna is churning the rasa with it. And that's what the spiritual world is about. The rasa between Krishna and Krishna's devotees. So what happens next? When Lord Krishna saw his mother stick in hand, he very quickly got down from the top of the mortar and began to flee, as if very much afraid. Although yogis tried to capture him as Paramatma by meditation, desiring to enter into the effulgence of the Lord with great austerities and penances, they failed to reach him. But Mother Yashoda, thinking that same personality of Godhead, Krishna, to be her son, began following Krishna to catch him. So, Paya, you like to read them?
Yogis, mystics want to catch Krishna as Paramatma, and with great austerities and penances they try to approach him, yet they cannot. Here we see, however, that Krishna is going to be caught by Yashoda and is running away in fear. This illustrates the difference between the bhakta and the yogi. Yogis cannot reach Krishna, but for pure devotees like Mother Yashoda, Krishna is already caught. Krishna was even afraid of Mother Yashoda's stick. This was mentioned by Queen Kunti in her prayers. Baya Bhavanaya Sthitasya Bhagavatam 1.8.31. Krishna is afraid of Mother Yashoda, and yogis are afraid of Krishna. Yogis tried to reach Krishna by Jnana Yoga and other yogas, but failed. Yet although Mother Yashoda was a woman, Krishna was afraid of her, as clearly described in this verse.
So, any points then?
Devotional service is one of the characteristics of devotional service is sudharlabha. So it's because of the fact, why it is sudharlabha is, as we have learned, is Krishna will be controlled, then therefore it is Sudarlabha. We can control, or devotee will control Krishna. So in this case as well, we can see that Mother Yashoda is doing that. So generally, that's the kind of devotee, devotional service.
Hmm. Okay, that's good. So Brahma Samhita says, Vedeshu Dulabha Adulabha Atma Bhakto. So it is very hard to understand Krishna. Dulabha means very difficult. By Vedeshu means by studying the Vedas. Like that. But Adulabham means not difficult. Atma Bhakto, when the soul, when the jiva, has feelings of devotion towards Krishna, then it is easy to understand him. So it's difficult by studying the Vedas, but by reading the Bhagavatam it is easy. Yeah, Bhagavatam is part of the Vedas, but it is a Bhakti Shastra. So we need to read the Bhakti Shastras. That is our system. Prabhupada said Bhakti Shastri. Hands up if you have Bhakti Shastri degree. Hands up if you have the certificate. Hands up if you've finished it, but you're waiting for the certificate. No one has Bhakti Shastri?
Just another 4 weeks.
Okay, hands up if you'll finish it in 4 weeks. Okay, a few. That's good. So you're meant to have these degrees. Prabhupada said. He said we should have Bhakti Shastri degree. So if you don't have it, you should get it. Right? And then Bhakti Vaibhav, this is Bhakti Vedanta. This is the third degree that Prabhupada asked us to get. So you have to study categorically. But you must have Bhakti Shastri. This is the system. So by studying the Bhakti Shastri, it is easy to understand Krishna. But by studying all the other parts of the Vedas, it's difficult to understand Krishna. So here it is difficult for the Paramatma, for the Paramatma Vadis, the yogis, to understand Krishna. That's difficult. For the devotees, it is simple. Mother Yashoda understands him perfectly because she has love for him. She's a bhakta. But for the Paramatma, they can't. They try to capture him in the heart. Very difficult to capture in the heart. She just runs behind him with a stick and she grabs him. How can you grab God? She grabs God. Not just grabs him, but she has control of him. And he's scared of her. Because that is because of love. But the Paramatma Vadis, they meditate, they try to capture him in the heart, be very difficult to see. Any points?
Yeah, this is according to Bhagavad Gita. He said, you can know me only by bhakti.
Yeah, bhakti mama bijanati. Yeah. The Prabhupada quotes that verse. Next. While following Krishna, Mother Yashoda, her thin waist overburdened by her heavy breasts, naturally had to reduce her speed. Because of following Krishna very swiftly, her hair became very loose and the flowers in her hair were falling after her. Yet she did not fail to capture her son, Krishna. When caught by Mother Yashoda, Krishna became more and more afraid and admitted to being an offender. As she looked upon him, she saw that he was crying, his tears mixing with the black ointment around his eyes. And as he rubbed his eyes with his hands, he smeared the ointment all over his face. Mother Yashoda, catching her beautiful son by the hand, mildly began to chastise him. So, Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says she is putting fear into him. But he is feared by fear personified. What is fear personified? That is death. So death is scared of Krishna. So when you're about to die, there's no fear because if Krishna comes, death is not scary. Radhana Swami, I was there for his birthday a long time ago, maybe 15 years ago. I was in Mumbai. So they had a birthday party for Maharaj on the roof of one of the Grihastha flats. It's about 400 devotees there. So Maharaj came. And then he led kirtan for a long time. And then when he finished kirtan, everyone was listening. What's Maharaj going to say? And then Maharaj said, for the non-devotee, death is unattractive. But for the devotee, death is all attractive. Because death is Krishna. So if we're going to die and Krishna's there, there's no fear. It's the most... Prabhupada actually says in his purports in the Bhagavatam, Prabhupada said a devotee enjoys death. Because it means, again, he's with Krishna. So for a devotee, what is normally fearful is not fearful. So Mother Yashoda is making he, who makes everything fearless, scared. So that is her exalted position. So this is only devotees can understand this. Non-devotees can't understand. How can God be scared? How can God have a mother? How can his mother be chasing me around the courtyard with a stick? But devotees, for us, it's natural to understand these things. Because we've become purified. Okay, so one more verse. Mother Yashoda was always overwhelmed by intense love for Krishna, not knowing who Krishna was or how powerful he was. Because of maternal affection for Krishna, she never cared to know who he was. Therefore, when she saw that her son had become excessively afraid, she threw the stick away and desired to bind him so that he would not commit any further naughty activities. So, Srila Prabhupada points out that Krishna, he was controlled by Mother Yashoda out of love, and Mother Yashoda could not see his supremacy. Her love for him was so strong that she sees Krishna as subordinate to her. She sees Krishna as dependent on me. If I don't feed him, he goes hungry. Right? If I don't chastise him, he does not develop good behavior. Chanakya says, between the age of 0 to 5, be very soft on the children. But then he says, between 5 and 15, you have to be strong on the children. So they develop good character. Otherwise, they become ruined. So that is her feeling. If I don't look after him, he will not develop good character. Shri Krishna Chandra Bhagwan ki, Shri Damodara Leela ki, Shri Mishoda Ma ki. So